And now, with over 25 years of experience integrating mental health and spirituality, the author of Reclaiming Authenticity, When Ancestors Weep, and Redeeming the Bereaved, here is Dr. James Houck.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, wherever you are in the world at this time. Welcome to Reclaiming Authenticity, helping you to find your courage to reclaim that which has always been in you. I am Dr. James Houck, and if you would like more information about me or to leave me your comments today about today's show, I invite you to visit the website. That would be www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. That is all one word. So www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity. And I'd just like to welcome you to today's show and just let you know that these broadcasts are indeed podcasts now. So in case you want to go back and listen again, or you go back in the archives and listen to previous shows. And as I started off with all throughout the month of June, I just wanted to say, again, just thank you for all the support over the past year that you have provided for me. And we'd like to say that just want to extend to you just another opportunity to continue your support by becoming a monthly subscriber. Now, unlike other radio spots or stations, you know, a subscription is not required to listen to my talk shows, but it is greatly appreciated. So just again, you can visit the website, Reclaiming Authenticity website, and you'll see a link there for subscription notification, and just invite you to choose any amount you feel comfortable giving. So, and I just thank you in advance for doing that. Well, I am very excited to be with you here today, every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time, and every other time in between. Here we are. Welcome to the month of July. Can you believe it? And we are now coming into 4th of July weekend and all sorts of travels and picnicking and barbecuing and everything else. So we are certainly in hopefully a much better place, you know, this year at this time than we were last year. And well, it's been quite a year. So if you're going to go out and celebrate 4th of July, please do so safely. So, again, for those who are new to the program, I just want to keep everybody in the loop and just remind everybody that each and every week these broadcasts are dedicated to the integration of spirituality and our mental health. And at first glance, you might assume that, well, what does spirituality and mental health have in common? And I would say very much so. You know, on down through history, probably ever since the Age of Enlightenment, you know, it's just been this disconnect between spirituality, religion and spirituality, and disciplines such as mental health. But I think in that separation or that dissection, we've lost something. So certainly bringing back the two disciplines and integrating them, we rediscover how they help us to reclaim those gifts and those wonderful things which have always been in us. And on the mental health side, we are very much governed by how we think or how we perceive certain events and so forth. And this is certainly one of our topics here today, just looking at how do we How do we dissolve, shall we say, crystalline energy, the negative crystalline energy that kind of shows up in our thought patterns and so forth? But I'll be saying a little bit more than that, but later on in the show. But I just wanted to say at the very beginning here that I am a firm believer, you know, to this end, that all of us come into the world already equipped and graced with everything that we need for this life in terms of our giftedness, skills, talents, strengths, character traits, personalities, all of that. And these are the very best parts of ourselves, but yet there's even more, much, much more to ourselves that we have yet to discover. And sometimes we go along through life and maybe it's due to some unpleasant experiences, or we might be in the wrong place at the wrong time and go through something traumatic. And as a result of that woundedness that we have experienced or maybe even taken on, we might tend to hide those skills or those talents because, well, maybe we were ridiculed when we were younger, or told that we wouldn't amount to anything, or told that we were, you know, that there was nothing really special to us, or whatever voice, other voice that we heard that was just causing us to kind of shrink back from the very best parts of ourselves and hiding our giftedness, our talents, and our strengths. But at any rate, when we continue to hide our giftedness, we often go through life then from a place of woundedness or victimization instead of a place of healing and wholeness and embracing one of my favorite words, hachetas, or uniqueness. And everybody has a uniqueness to them. Everybody is unique in their own way, and this is to be valued and celebrated indeed. And the whole reason why I place the integration of mental health and spirituality back into relationships, because when you think about it, it's kind of ironic that we often experience our deepest physical, emotional, psychological, even spiritual wounds in relationships. And yet, and here's the irony part, we can discover our greatest healing and strength and peace and forgiveness and love through healthier relationships. And these relationships, we all know, could just be right within our own families. They could be with people that we work alongside, or they could be friends, or they can even be acquaintances. But the exciting part that I find is that whenever we find that transformation for ourselves and we rediscover that uniqueness about ourselves and the very best parts of ourselves, we transform. And we also transform others by our presence, you know, by through our grace and our understanding. But first and foremost, forgiveness, kindness, and compassion begins with how we treat ourselves. Because I've seen this many times over, that when we are compassionate with ourselves, we can then be compassionate with others, and vice versa. When we're compassionate with others, it then compels us to be compassionate with ourselves. And when we are forgiving with ourselves, or more forgiving with ourselves, we then can be more forgiving with others, and vice versa. The more we can be forgiving with others, the more we can be forgiving with ourselves. And when we're able to live in gratitude with ourselves and to celebrate every aspect of our lives, we then discover how this really opens up our hearts to see and to live in gratitude with others. Well, as I said at the beginning, just welcome to the show. Today, we are focusing on transforming negative crystalline energy. Now, as I've started off in the month of June, and I'm going to continue this because this is a great analogy, that a basic definition of energy, as we have learned in our physics classes, hopefully we weren't sleeping, but we paid attention to this part, is the capacity for doing work. Energy is the capacity for doing work. And it can exist in various forms. You know, we have kinetic energy, we have thermal energy, we have electrical energy, we have chemical energy, nuclear energy, and other forms. And Energy is something that cannot be destroyed. It can only be transferred from one body to another. Okay. And think about it this way. Think about heat. Yeah, heat. I know it is summer, and for those of you who are living in places where it is just unbearably hot, bear with me, okay? Because there will come a time when we're going to need to turn the heat on, maybe later on this year. But let's think about heat for a second. Heat that is transferred may then become, let's say, thermal energy, okay? And then it can be used for something, let's say, like mechanical engine energy or so forth. Okay, so it is just merely transferred from one aspect to another, but we can never destroy energy. But all down through the centuries and so forth, we have learned how to use energy in various ways. But what I'm referring to when I'm talking about crystalline energy is that there's a shift that can occur in us moving from, let's say, carbon energy to crystalline energy. And it involves a releasing of, shall we say, unneeded energies and replacing them with higher vibrations of love and light. And crystalline energy, in a spiritual sense, is the energy of light and love. It's very powerful in that it has the potential to transform anything that is not aligned with love and with our higher vibrational selves. And it's also ironic that down through the centuries that, you know, as a society, we already know that cell memory occurs when we hold trauma in the body. Okay, this is just something that's just been shown, especially in the 20th and 21st centuries. We just hold trauma in just various parts. Okay. And you know, trauma is something that can really change our cells and our genes. And early on in the 20th century, this was called epigenetics. And studies that came out of the traumatic experiences of World War II, as well as other atrocities, also focused on, you know, the trauma that was kind of stamped on people's DNA. And it was passed along to future generations. And, you know, one of my areas of research has been in intergenerational trauma or complex trauma and how trauma gets passed down, where you have a, shall we say, a first generation of a people who go through an atrocity. And the early research done was on the folks who survived the concentration camps, the Holocaust. And, you know, it was just so traumatic through them or other groups of people who have gone through just this relentless traumatic experiences. And I use the word relentless because it was continuous. It didn't let up. It was almost every day, every week, every month, every year. It was just relentless. And over time, with this kind of impact from the trauma, it started to very, very slightly change the cells and the DNA of the people who were experiencing these traumatic experiences, okay? And then over time, this would get passed down to, let's say, the second generation, and then the third generation, and the fourth generation, till about, you know, a generation or so, you know, two or three removed from a traumatic experience that, let's say, the first generation experienced. They're, you know, experiencing traumatic events, or I should say, you know, they have their experiences and traumatic perspectives as if they too have gone through what the first generation had gone through. And it's this traumatic energy that has just slightly altered the genes, but is being passed down genetically. And so this, as well as learned behavior, is being passed down. And this is pretty much the crux of intergenerational trauma. But whenever we shift into, let's say, a higher consciousness or vibration, a spiritual vibration, that too creates a change in our DNA. and can even break up trauma that has altered our genes, even in the slightest way. And the same is true when we start talking about mental health. You know, we can talk about short-term and long-term memories and intelligence, and there's actually two ways of looking at them. We have fluid intelligence, and we have crystallized intelligence. Now, fluid intelligence involves being able to think and reason abstractly and solve problems. And this ability is considered independent of learning and experience and education. Okay, it's more like the critical thinking skills. And the irony in this is fluid intelligence tends to decline during later adulthood. Okay, and certain cognitive skills associated with fluid intelligence also tend to decline. Okay, as people reach later adulthood. And this also goes hand in hand with what we would call like short-term memory or long-term memory. And if you ever talk to somebody who is struggling with their memory, they may not remember your name after you've just told it to them 10 seconds ago. But their long-term memory is strong and it's intact, because they can go back decades and pull a memory in great detail. And we wonder, you know, how's that possible? Well, quite simply, it is possible because they've attached meaning to that memory. It was something so significant, whether it's positive or negative, but it's whenever we attach that meaning, it becomes a core memory, or that it goes right into long-term memory. Okay. Now, the other kind of intelligence, the crystallized intelligence, is based upon facts, and it is grounded in our experiences. And think of it this way: as we age and we accumulate new knowledge and new understanding and encompass everything that we have learned, experienced, heard, tasted, emotions we have felt, positive core memories and negative core memories, all of these are held in this crystallized intelligence, which, again, the research has shown that it actually becomes stronger and more resilient over time, okay, because it's grounded in our experiences, and we've you know, attached meaning and purpose to those memories. But even within something so strong as our crystallized intelligence, there are unhealthy patterns of behaviors and distorted perspectives that simply need to be dissolved and released. And you are never too old to experience a radical shift in your vibrational awareness of your vast self, of who you are. And perhaps, you know, again, I'm a firm believer that this is why many ancient cultures value their elders, because the elders carry the wisdom for the people. And they've spent the better part of their lives alongside the elders of their time and listening to their stories from their elders and so forth. And some elders, men and women, have been even gifted with the ability to understand that ancient wisdom that carries with it the knowledge and teachings for their people to continue living. And it is vital for us to value and integrate those ancient wisdom and experiences that enhance our understanding and transform our limited abilities to realize ourselves as souls. Well, a gentleman by the name Lewis Mel Madrona had written extensively on Native medicines, Native American medicines, and he said you can look him up on the internet. You can certainly Google him. Just a fascinating life that he had lived. And he, again, wrote something that is, you know, very much indeed relevant today as it was in his day. And he says, the purpose of religion should be to help us maintain a binding commitment to spiritual awareness within the lives of our communities. And he says, this is done through the power of ritual, which is the materialization of religion, the bearer of religious tradition, and the insurer of the continuity of the life of the present and original spirit of the past. It's like wedding the spirit, you know, of the past with the present and the future. And the reenactment of traditional ritual and worship that is provided by religion ensures that the past, that is our ancestors, continues to touch our bodies, our flesh, and to reach into the hearts of our soul. Another favorite author of mine, Henry Nouwen, who wrote the book Return of the Prodigal Son, also put it in his own words. He says, people discover that there is tremendous strength in healthy relationships. And there are people who deal and heal with each other's wounds and forgive each other's offenses. And they share their possessions and they foster the spirit of community. They celebrate the gifts they have received, and they constantly live in the anticipation of the full manifestation of God's glory. And as we begin this process of a higher dimension relationship with God, we will be reminded of all the negative psychological, emotional, and spiritual patterns within our relationships that keep us stuck in the past and really hinder us from learning from the past, learning from the great ancient wisdom that has been passed down through elders and those who are gifted with that ancient wisdom. And certainly, vibrational shifts show themselves in relationships. You know, we can be certainly become more loving, or we can become more patient. We can be more forgiving with ourselves and others, as I said in earlier in the show. And whenever we ascend, it does affect us physically. But whenever we minister to the physical needs of another, it always has a spiritual effect or an awakening on some level. Or in other words, the soul is also touched. You see, it's a daily surrender or saying yes to being led by our soul's desires that connect us with God in the universe. And we are compelled to let go of the former ways, the ways that no longer serve us, in order to take on the more life-giving by changing the energy of those things. And when you think about it, we let go more easily because we're no longer controlled by the fear, but compelled out of everlasting love and grace. But this certainly does take courage, I have to say, because many times we want to hang on to the past, or we simply can't imagine something better in our lives, let alone discovering who we really are, because, again, this involves us letting go of things. And we just may not be ready, you know, even though these things are detrimental to us. And these things are just, you know, zapping our energy and our strength and our vitality and our spiritual growth and so forth. And certainly attitudes and perceptions that no longer serve and they keep us wounded. And then moving out of that to take on something better, more life-giving, and to live more authentically as to who we truly are. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I also shared with you the metaphor of fire when it comes to transformation. And as we sit with ourselves and our thoughts and emotions, whether it be negative or positive, these things come up to our awareness. And if things come to our awareness that happen to be negative or happen to be unpleasant, we can certainly send that energy into the fire to be transformed. Okay, we can send those things into the fire that have diminished, let's say, the mental, the emotional, the physical, and even the spiritual body. But sending it out, we need to be reminded that it also needs to be transformed. Because a lot of people I've seen made the mistake of, you know, sending that negative energy that's coming up in us, well, we'll just send it into the earth and let the earth absorb it. And that's something we have to avoid, because I think the earth can no longer absorb that negative energy because we tend to have the understanding backwards. You know, we have to return to exactly what is being transformed. You know, when it's like I said, the energy cannot be destroyed, but it can be transformed in many different ways. So just as the fire, you know, itself, that image of the fire transforms wood into, say, ash or dust or gases and etc. And it goes up into the universe only to come back then in the form of rain and snow and ice. But as we sit with ourselves and as these negative crystalline energies come up, we can ask for that negative energy to be transformed into gifts that honor and sustain our psychological, emotional, physical, and spiritual body, and heighten our awareness and vibration of our vast selves. And when that happens, that is very, very exciting. Because in doing so over time, we discover that we no longer wish to find peace. We no longer wish to find grace, or we no longer wish to find love. But rather, we find ourselves becoming and being transformed into peace, grace, and love. I mean, we don't have to think about it. You know, we don't have to start our day and say, well, you know, show me the peace today. We can just say, I am peace. And whoever needs that peace, I will share it with them. I am love. I can share that love with others. Okay. And this sense of beingness generates a powerful positive energy field, or shall we say, a vibrant aura. And others can tell this even before we open our mouths. Okay, because we no longer have to worry about what we're going to say in any given situation. We can just relax and simply be. And we find ourselves being more fully present, not just with ourselves and others, but we can also begin to experience God in the most unlikely places and through the most unlikely people, which is actually where God has been found all along. And so, as we begin this process of a higher dimension relationship with God, we will be reminded of all the negative things and just the patterns that keep us stuck. Okay? And there are times when our negativity causes us to spend too much time ruminating over the minor frustrations we experience. Let's say, for example, being stuck in traffic, or paying bills, or disagreeing with colleagues or friends or loved ones. Whenever this occurs, we may not realize it, but we do miss the many opportunities to then see and hear and taste and smell and touch all the goodness of God, as well as the way God often works through, as I said, the most unlikely people and the most unlikely times. But still, many people believe that this sounds so idealistic that it's just not possible in this lifetime to achieve this. But like I said at the beginning of the show, the fact is we have everything we need to be able to not only reclaim our authenticity, but also embrace the higher dimensions of our authenticity. And the best way we can do this on a daily basis is just incorporating the following four statements into our lives every day. I, you know, hopefully you remember I mentioned to you Ira Byock. He's the author who wrote the book Saying Four Things That Matter the Most. It's actually more like finding our true selves through restoring and being in right relationships. But either way, transformation occurs. So if we can just incorporate these four statements into our lives every day, and you just watch how our relationships are just enhanced and how we can break up the negative crystalline energies by saying these things to ourselves and others. Forgive me for, and then we can fill in the blank. I forgive you for, fill in the blank. Thank you for, fill in the blank. And I love you because, fill in the blank. Forgive me. I forgive you. Thank you. I love you. Forgiveness, gratitude, and love begins that process of breaking up the negative crystalline energy and just the patterns of thought that we have been carrying on and carrying around in and through relationships. And we could do this with ourselves. That I need to be forgiven for, and I need to show gratitude, you know, for, and I need to love myself because. Okay. Well, after the break, I'll be talking about how we can also dissolve and transform and release these unhealthy patterns of behaviors and distorted perspectives. I have some pretty cool techniques I'd like to share with you. So I would really love to hear your heart on this matter, this subject. So again, if you would like to call in, I invite you to do so. That number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008, and I will be taking your calls after the break. Again, you are listening to Reclaiming Authenticity, and I am your host, Dr. James Houck. I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Okay, welcome back. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. I'm Dr. James Houck, your host, and I, again, wanted to thank you for your support over the past year. And just like to say that, you know, you now have the opportunity to continue your support by becoming a monthly subscriber. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that you don't need a monthly subscription to listen to my talk shows or to access them, but it is greatly appreciated. So I just invite you to go on the website, www.bbsradio.com/reclaiming authenticity, and you'll find some subscription links there. And again, you can choose an amount that you feel comfortable giving. And I certainly just want to thank you and just express my appreciation in advance. Well, earlier in the show, I was talking about the fact that as a society as a whole, and through the research that has been done and so forth, we know that cell memory occurs when we hold trauma in the body, you know, and it's just no secret anymore. And some people hold trauma in the body, such as in the forms of a stiff back or a stiff neck, or, you know, just constant nagging physical issues that, you know, it's just clearly the energy is just being held there. Anybody who has ever done any kind of energy work like therapeutic touch or Reiki can certainly verify this because, again, let's say just with Reiki, it works with the subtle energies in the body and really pinpoints and hones in on any blockages that we might have, like, say, well, just for example, you know, let's say in the lower back where a lot of people might hold tension, or if, you know, there's severe stiffness in the neck where it's hard to turn and to look in one direction or another, there might be something else going on there that perhaps we can ask the question a little bit differently. Like, what is it that we're not really willing to look at in our lives. But as I said, with like people who do energy work, like Reiki, can free up that energy and dissolve it in that certain way. So I just want to encourage you, if you have never had a Reiki treatment or never had therapeutic touch, I invite you to find a good practitioner, the one that you feel comfortable with, and see for yourself. Again, just doing energy work is just another powerful way of, you know, we experience healing in our lives. And certainly people who do more like, say, the hands-on massage, even deep tissue or the Swedish massage, can also attest to kind of breaking up, you know, the blockages in the body where we're holding our stress or holding that anxiety or holding, you know, that trauma and so forth. But again, it's just interesting how our bodies are usually the first thing that kind of shows up and says, got a problem here. Okay. So anyway, as I had said earlier, that, you know, with, you know, how cell memory can also hold the trauma in the body. And again, the more relentless and complex traumatic experiences are in our lives, the more likely that this kind of trauma can change our cells, our genes. And this is what it was called epigenetics. And like I said, most of these studies came out of the traumatic experiences of World War II and other atrocities and other populations who have just been oppressed and made to suffer, and how that traumatic energy has just been passed down to future generations because the genes have been altered. So again, you know, a future generation of a people may not experience the same kind of traumatic event, but they feel it. They act as if they have some of the same symptoms and so forth. And, you know, this is, again, this is the trauma being passed down, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that's, that people are just forced to live that way and just say, well, that's just the way we are, because this is who we are. But whenever we shift into higher consciousness or a vibration, that too creates a change in our DNA and can actually break up trauma that has altered these genes. Okay, and the same is true with our mental health. As I was talking about, you know, crystallized intelligence, which encompasses, excuse me, everything that we have learned or experienced or heard or tasted, the emotions we've felt, the positive core memories, the negative core memories, which are all held in this crystallized intelligence, which stays with us and has been shown in the research to become stronger and more resilient over time. And, you know, in the first half of the show, I linked this to why it's so crucial to listen to the stories from our elders for every generation, because within those experiences come the very precious wisdom teachings that everybody needs to hear and to integrate into their lives. Okay, but even within this crystallized intelligence, there are unhealthy patterns of behaviors and distortions in our perspectives that need to be dissolved and released. Okay, and like I said, you're never too old to experience a radical shift in your vibrational awareness of your vast self. So, how do we dissolve, transform, and release these unhealthy patterns of behaviors and distorted perspectives? Well, I'm going to share with you now a couple of techniques that I use to help people identify these old patterns and how they can be released. This is something that I had learned in graduate school, the Adlerian earliest memories. It came from Alfred Adler, who was just, again, fascinated with just how we make meaning in our lives. And he certainly tapped into our earliest memories at how that kind of sets a template for our perspectives of, you know, who we are, how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see the world at large or our worldview. And then it also shapes what we do about that, you know, how we live. How do we put all those perspectives into some kind of action? Okay. And it's going to lead you through this. Okay. Now, if you're driving, you'll have to, record this somehow and then listen to it again or go back into the archives. But just invite you just to kind of remove any distractions right now. And just going to kind of walk you through this. Okay. So the way Adlerian earliest memories work is that we begin by recalling our earliest memory, earliest memory, perhaps as early as 4 or 5 years old. Some people can go even further and they have an early memory of 2 years old or 3 years old. Okay. But most people around the age of 4 or 5. Okay. Now, this is the crucial part. You have to write it down. You have to write that story down, about a paragraph or two, everything that, in terms of any familiar sights, sounds, or colors, or smells, or people, or whatever. But you have to write it down, okay? You just simply can't talk about it into your microphone app on your phone, okay? So write it down, about a large paragraph or two. Okay. And then once you've recalled everything you can, you then answer these following questions as your 5 or 4 year old self. Okay. So you've written down your memory and say, for sake of argument, you're 5 years old. Okay. And now you're going to answer these questions, recalling that memory as your 5-year-old self. I am, and then you fill in the blank. Others are, and you fill in the blank. The world is, you fill in the blank. And therefore, I will fill in the blank. Okay, so an example might be if you're 5 years old and you have an earliest memory of being scared by thunder or lightning, how you answer these questions might be as that 5-year-old self, I am scared. Others are nowhere to be found. The world is frightening, and therefore I will hide. Okay, so what you want to do is repeat this same procedure then for the next 3 earliest memories. So you're going to have 4 earliest memories, okay? And you can, just kind of play off, being a 4 or 5 year old and go to the next one, which you could be 6 years old or 7 or 8. It doesn't matter. But again, just go to your next 3 earliest memories. Okay. And the same procedures in place. What you want to do is write down everything that you can remember about that earliest memory in about a large paragraph or two, and record sights and sounds and smells or people that were there and so forth. And then after you've written down everything that you can remember about that second earliest memory, you go back and you answer the questions again. But this time, let's say you're 6 years old having that second earliest memory. So you would answer these as a 6-year old. I am. Others are. The world is. And therefore, I will. Okay. And then you, like I said, you keep repeating this same procedure for, your 3 earliest memories. Okay. So once you've done that, all right, you want to include a memory from your adolescent years, whatever it is. It could be early adolescence if you choose to, write or include a memory of that, or later adolescence if you want to include, a memory of that, or you can do one for your early adolescence and later adolescence. That's fine too. So you could have up to 5 memories that you are recalling. Okay, and then answering the questions, I am, others are, the world is, therefore I will. And after a while, you'll begin to see patterns that have developed in your life around how you see yourself or how you view and interact with others and how you developed your worldview. And finally, how have you acted or functioned in your early life? Now, don't judge when you remember or even how you've answered these questions, okay? There's no right or wrong to this. It's what's coming up. It's what you remember, okay? But here again, this is crystallized intelligence. This is long-term memory. We will always remember what has happened to us because we've placed significant meaning or purpose to that memory. It's a pivotal memory, you know, and this is why Alfred Adler always pushed for these early memories because, well, we have tons of experiences, but what is it about very specific memories that we can recall vividly with sights and sounds and smells and patterns and people and, you know, and everything else? Okay. Again, very, very fascinating. So, as I said, you know, we're always going to remember what has happened to us, and we simply cannot change the past. But what we can change or what we can transform is the negative energy around those earliest memories. You see where this is going? Okay. So for now, I tell you what, for now, hang on to these earliest memories. Okay. And I'll show you how to combine them with vibrational toning and chanting. Now, shift gears here a little bit, but again, hang on to those early memories. Everything in our lives has vibration, and different sounds have different vibrations. Even silence has a vibration. And I don't know, maybe you've ever, you know, seen any demonstration on YouTube or you know, another demonstration involving how water crystals are formed and transformed by specific sounds of, let's say, music or a voice. Then you are familiar with the experiments of Masaru Emoto. And as I said, you can Google his pictures that he took after using various sound effects and music to create different structures in water. And since water is now known to absorb and store sound effects, his experiments on the effects of music and words on water are truly amazing. Fascinating stuff. If you never looked it up on YouTube, it is just, you have to. And you're going to get the entire point of this show. Because let's take it into our lives. Our voice also carries a powerful vibration with it. Every time we speak, we can feel the vibration echoing from our larynx as the sound waves are heard in the eardrums of others, and vice versa. And we can use our voices, through toning the sounds to harmonize and balance ourselves and energetic pathways. Okay, we can use our voice, and toning is a very, very popular and powerful way to harmonize and balance ourselves and our energetic pathways. Okay, so let's return to those earliest memories. You know, as I said, you know, if you're driving in the car, you won't have them. But if you're writing them down, you know, at some other point, you know, you should have about five of them all together. Four that are your earliest childhood memories, you know, starting with however far back you can go and then just working your way up to the present. So you could be having one from like age four, and then five and six and seven or whatever it was. Okay, but go with the memories, but note how old you are. And then you also want to include an earliest memory from adolescence or even later adolescence is also good. Okay, now begin by looking at the patterns that have developed in your life around how you see yourself and how you view and interact with others and how you develop your worldview. And finally, how you have acted on or functioned in your early life. Okay, so find a quiet space where you're not going to be disturbed, no cell phones. Okay, so sit with these earliest memories, and now we're going to tone. I want you to tone to your five-year-old self. Okay, just a gentle tone. Okay, so let's say you have your earliest memory as a five-year-old. You've answered the questions, I am, others are, the world is, and therefore I will, as that five-year-old self. Okay? And then just sit with this, not judging it, not putting any value on it or anything, but just sit with it and begin to tone like this. And then pause. Sit in silence with the tone that you just said. And then repeat this toning again. And then pause. Sit in silence. Just observe. Don't judge. And then repeat this process a total of 7 times. And that's just for one memory. Do this for each of your earliest memories. Don't force anything, but just breathe normally and tone the sound, and feel its vibrational energy dissolving and purifying the negative energies surrounding those memories of your younger self. Okay? So all in all, the toning enables us to find our voice and to find our vibration. And not just to find our voice, but also to use our voice and to use our vibration. I mean, not to be shut down, but to take back what has always been in you. And there is certainly down through history a very prominent theme that emerges time and time again, that when people not only find their power of their voice, but also listen to the empowerment of others, you know, they too find their voice and they're never the same again. And this is often the case with anybody who has gone through any kind of trauma or event in their life in which a person's assumptions have been completely shattered. The innocence of, let's say, childhood has been shattered. And finding and or reclaiming your voice takes time, but it can be done. It can grow stronger. There is a greater depth to it over time. I mean, you can even do this vibrational toning with each one of, let's say, one of the chakras, especially the throat chakra. The throat chakra is responsible for communication and self-expression and the ability to speak your personal truth. Because just think about it for a moment. How many times have you been told to sit down and be quiet, or that people didn't want to hear from you? Or you just feel like you couldn't fully express yourself and you felt your voice, your throat close off. Well, that's what trauma does to us. That's what shrinking back from who we truly are does to us. But we can open up that throat chakra. We can find that communication and that self-expression. And we can find the ability and power to speak our truth without apology. And when you are able to speak your personal truth, nobody can ever stop you ever again. Nobody can tell you to be quiet. Nobody can tell you that, well, we'd rather not hear that, so please don't do that. It's impossible because you've found your truth and it's being expressed through your voice that carries its own vibration. And interestingly enough, the throat chakra is commonly referred to by its Sanskrit name of Vishuddha, if I'm saying that correctly, Vishuddha, maybe, which means pure or purification, which again makes it ideal to tone the sound into the throat chakra. And it's also associated with the element of sound, because vibrations can not only be felt just in our ears, but also through the whole body. And that vibration can certainly carry us and break up where we're holding stress or trauma in the body. And so this makes an important instrument of expression and communication. Well, I invite you to continue toning with the different areas in your life, but use the Adlerian earliest memories. Again, breaking up negative crystalline energies of just distortions of our perceptions of who we are, our perceptions of others, and the world at large, and therefore how we may have limited ourselves at such an early age. Another thing you could do is also gather all your earliest memories together and note any patterns that hold these memories together. And then just, you know, hold that pattern and just tone through that pattern. And take your time with this. It is not about running a race here, but take your time. Be thorough. Be consistent. As I said, just breathe normally. And you may have to do this many, many times, but over time, the vibrational sound of our voice does break up that negative crystalline energies of our perceptions and negative behaviors. Well, I'm Dr. James Houck, and I am so grateful that you have spent this time listening to Reclaiming Authenticity. Again, invite you to visit the website and leave me your thoughts or your ideas, suggestions, and so forth, because I'm always excited to read them. So next time we hear from each other, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand, and may you have a happy and very safe 4th of July. Take care and God bless.
For an answer, or just to leave 1,000 comments, or prodding to buy a book by Dr. Houck, it's all there. Just wander on over to ReclaimingAuthenticity.com and click around. And we'll see you next Friday at noon Pacific time on PBS Radio TV.